T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I think New England's going to be a seller. Belichick knows he's won 43% of his games without Brady. He's got to go find the next Brady.
Dale Arnold.
Dale Arnold, host of Dale and Keith.
Oh, yes.
Teams are constantly churning assets who are human beings.
He's a real man of the people.
Rich Keith.
I'd like to wait one more week because you move up one end of the division, you bring Buffalo down, you never know.
Yeah, Lee, that's hard. That'd be hard for me to go through and think about. I don't know.
Dale and Keith with Andy Hart.
Lance is the manse.
You, my friend, are a boo.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Our buddy Andy Hart from WEEI.com is in the house. The big topic of discussion here the last couple of days, and a lot of it got really churned up with the news broken by the Greg Hill Show that Stephon Gilmore's house is for sale. And then you pull up the real estate listing, which I did yesterday, and I'm paraphrasing, but it basically said, open houses Saturday and Sunday. All bids, if any, have to be submitted by November 3rd at 5 p.m. Now, that's election day. I understand that. It's Rich's dentist appointment. I understand that.
Oh, my God. I'm nervous.
But it's also another day that may involve Stephon Gilmore, and that's trade deadline day.
It is. And it's one of those things where, do you really think Bill Belichick is going to decide whether to trade Gilmore based on the result of Sunday's game? I think it's easier for a fan to kind of say, or us to be like, yeah, if they win, then you keep them. If you lose, you trade them. Or is he already?
I think he's already decided.
I think he wants to trade him anyway, because all the reports are that he tried to before the season even began. You had no idea what your record was going to be. And he would have been, he and Tooney, two guys that are very, very, very unlikely to be on the roster next year. Bill's always kind of gotten those guys out 1 year early, right? Almost always. Whether it's, you know, Chandler Jones in the offseason or Jamie Collins in the season, he kind of gets those guys out and you kind of go from there. But it is different this time around because the team is not a winner like it was in the past. And I you wonder, like, all right, well, what is it going to look like? Is it going to look worse than this? Are they going to lose? Oh, they're going to lose to Denver at home.
That was Peter King's lineup.
It was. Peter nailed it. Like, what? So what's going to happen?
Have you seen this team play?
Did you watch him try to tackle, you know, Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, and you're going to say, oh my God, it's going to be worse than that? Like, I don't think Belichick's worried about the message that it sends. I think he's worried about the type of pick he can get returned.
But Teddy Bruschi is. Like, that's what I think is interesting. Now, you could argue Teddy Bruschi lived in a different world of Patriot players, right? Like, that was a different way. He has a championship mentality because they were a championship team, and a lot of those guys were. So maybe it doesn't matter, and you take the theory we can't be any worse. I also think an interesting factor in this is sort of the Band-Aid $5 million. Like, was that, you know, the donut spare tire? We'll put it on and see how far we can make it and see how this goes. Because if you're going to trade him, and you were talking about trading him, and now you're going to trade him potentially, what was the point of handing him $5 million? Was that like a hope?
It was to get him to play because he was holding out.
Yeah, but
I think he was holding out.
Okay, so why not just, who cares?
Well, you go back to that 4-day excused absence thing.
Right.
Excused absence.
Right.
Rich may have hit the nail on the head here.
Okay.
So he may have been working his way into a holdout.
But at that time.
But if you're so willing to play without him, then play without him.
Well, let's go back to what Bruschi told.
You don't get paid.
Yeah, but you don't get anything either.
I know, and eventually I will. I'll probably trade him, but you don't get paid. We can play your game. My team's going to suck either way. My team's on the field. The best players are out there, and we're not very good, as Peter King just noted.
Well, let's go to Teddy Bruschi yesterday on OMF talking about what the fallout could be if Bill were to trade Stephon Gilmore.
There's the effect on Gilmore if he's on the trade block. There's also now an effect on the entire locker room. because if I'm on that defense, I'm saying, like, that's our best guy over there. And we're thinking about getting rid of these guys. If I were Bill, I would try to give some type of reassurance to the guys that Steph wasn't going anywhere, and that would help. But if he doesn't, and players can read the writing on a wall that now we're trying to get rid of guys, I mean, this season is going to go down and go down quickly.
This team isn't very good anymore.
Teddy's been
They're
good lately.
They're not good anymore.
Yeah, but Teddy walked it back, so he doesn't even get credit for that line.
But he didn't walk back yesterday's yet, did he?
No.
I'll have to check Twitter. That's what he does.
He has not yet. Well, now, the interesting thing here, and Peter King, speaking of hitting the nail on the head, when I think Andy asked him about the Teddy comment, Peter followed up with this.
Was the locker room happy when Richard Seymour was dumped to the Raiders? No, locker room wasn't happy. Does it really matter? Well, in 2003, after dumping Lawyer Malloy, they won their second Super Bowl. So I don't really think that of that as a big factor.
But he is right in this regard. Bill Belichick doesn't give a damn what you think.
No.
I'm talking about the players in his room.
I think that's easy to say when you have a talented locker room. A sulking, talented locker room sulks for a week, and then they get back to playing football. You trade Logan Mankins, Tom Brady grows a beard, he sulks a little bit, and then he throws touchdown passes. A crappy locker room that sulks? That compounds it. Now we embarrass ourselves. You thought last week was embarrassing? They tried last week. Well, at least the first half. Maybe.
I don't
they
know.
Tried.
Yeah,
at portions, they tried. They practiced.
There.
They were invested.
Yeah.
Think how bad they could be if they look that bad when they're invested, longer invested.
What's weird to me, going back to the Brewski cut, where he's talking about how you should reassure the team that he's not being traded. Huh? Well, that's only if you don't trade him.
You want me to lie?
You're probably going to trade him. And then, so then it just, you double down.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Remember yesterday, Coach, when you told us you weren't going to trade him just so we had like a good day of practice, but now he's gone? So
yeah,
now
the only way that the only way that reassurance helps
is if you 100% don't trade him.
And by the way, if you don't trade him at the trade deadline on Tuesday, I'm with Andy. You're probably going to wheel him out in the offseason anyway, right? Because if you think he was hinting at a holdout this year and they sweetened the pot with $5 million, well, that $5 million came from next year's contract.
Oh, yeah.
He's gone. So now he's going to play for $7 million next year?
No, he's definitely gone. And he's worth keeping if you're a playoff team, to me. But if you're not, then what are we doing?
And is he really worth keeping even if you are that seventh playoff team we've talked about?
Well,
that sneaking tomato can?
Well, so next Thursday, we're going to do our exercise because it's the midway point of the season,
yep,
where we say, can this team win the Super Bowl, yes or no? And we might have a decision to make on the local club here.
I don't.
No, I have my decision's made.
Mine too.
Me too.
I mailed in my ballot already.
But basically, that's one where if the answer was yes, and for the first several weeks it was, then I'm keeping Gilmore. But as soon as the answer is no, it doesn't make sense.
Do you think they think they stink?
Who's
that?
They?
A lot of rhyming
like the players
in
or the
no,
coach?
The Patriots. The New England Patriots.
Like
Belichick, the organization, the coaching staff, the people who are charting the course.
Yeah, they know.
Do you think they think they stink, or is this fixable?
Yeah. You wanna
Cam stinks.
Want to know why I know that they stink? We know they stink, and we only watch the game once. they watch the tape on this thing over and over again.
You know how coaches, if we do this, if we fix this, if this guy tackles here.
I think after the Seattle game, the whole idea of the good loss, again, they would never say that, but I bet they felt that. And then now you're like, all right, how do we explain the Denver game and the Niner game? No, we are not very good.
Because they
do you think in 2009, Belichick thought they had a good team?
I think early on. I think he always thinks
by the
they
end
can
of
win.
It, though,
he
I
has
think,
an ego or confidence, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
He thinks he can win. We can win. We'll find a way.
Yeah,
there's always
that's
a way to win a battle. There's a game plan.
You
there's something.
You
had talent. No question. I think they probably still think, six games in, so more than half of your season remains, I think they probably think this is still fixable, that this is not a lost cause. Because some of us thought it was a lost cause in the offseason when they had these same issues.
Yeah, you did.
Right?
Yep.
The same roster, same issues. They believed they were good enough. Why would they pull the plug now? I mean, you have a couple losses, but you knew you were going to lose some games here. You knew you had certain amounts. I bet you they are saying, if we do this, or if this guy comes on, we game plan this a little better, I bet you they think they
but
can
I don't
still
think
win.
You probably I don't think you could have imagined Cam Newton's this bad, Julian Edelman's this washed, the secondary's not a huge strength of the team. They have a lot of issues. Everything that was kind of 50-50, this could be good, could be bad, it's all been bad.
See, I think all three of those were somewhat predictable. Now, maybe you can say they were all
to
coin
the
flips,
level of the,
and you didn't think it was going to come up tails three times in a row.
Yeah.
Maybe that has happened, but you had a 34-year-old slot receiver who gutted through last year.
You're right.
It's predictable that he might lose something.
Right.
You had a secondary that bullied bad quarterbacks a year ago, and then when they played good teams or
Ryan
even questionable teams, they got bullied.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Right? There were
I think they. Yeah, if you're if Belichick,
if you were a pessimist, then you were right.
They beat all the bad teams last year. They lost to all the good teams.
Right, and they're Still losing to good teams.
And bad teams.
Bad teams now.
The freaking Broncos. Can I bring back a tweet from Stephon Gilmore from 1 week ago?
Ooh. Sure. Because it's valid.
Saw a lot of people's true colors in 2020. He tweeted that 1 week ago tonight. And
that's the tweet.
We had a lot of guesses. We were trying to figure out what that was. I don't know.
Do you know it's football?
No.
Couldn't it be personal?
Sure.
Don't we all have a personal Twitter account, for sure.
And I got to be honest, based on the amount that he tweets, which ain't much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
it's possible.
It's not like he comments on everything.
No.
Maybe this was something going on in his life, not his football life, his life.
It could be, and I don't want to blame him for this, but the way a lot of athletes, particularly the NBA and the NFL, have used their social media, usually it is subtweeting somebody else involving sport. But yes, it could
like
be
some
personal.
Investment might have screwed him. Some money manager might have screwed
him.
Maybe that's
possible.
Why they're selling the house. Money manager screwed him. He learned that guy's true colors. Honey, we got to unload the house.
We got rats.
And we need to get above the Zestimate on this, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just saying it's not nothing.
We all just assume it's football related, it's Belichick related, it's trade related.
What's more important than football?
I hope football's not the most important thing right now, because that stinks.
Yeah, for the last 20 years, that's been a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah, now they got,
not
they
so
got
much.
Some other stuff to do.
What else we got?
It'll be interesting to see the TV numbers going forward. If they win, then, you know, the things will continue on probably at a pretty interesting pace. If they lose, you're going to see a pretty dramatic drop-off, I think.
Unless there's a cold streak. I think they could use like a really cold streak, maybe some snow, which we may be getting.
Oh, people indoors watching the game.
Well, if we're in, we might as well watch the Patriots. Although I think ratings will be good this week because Wiggy told me that this is the most important game of Bill Belichick's career.
The nine Super Bowls weren't bigger.
He was in
the league 45 years. This is a random division.
And it all
game.
Comes down to Sunday. Tune in.
Like, what are we doing here?
What is this? Does that mean if they lose, he's got to go?
They take the rings away, actually. His boat will be called saying. No Rings
no
after
no
Sunday
rings.
If they lose.
Which is an embarrassing name for
sad.
A boat.
That is really sad.
I know Wiggy is prone to hyperbole from time to time.
No.
It is the biggest game of the year. I'll give you that.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
It is a must-win game. I'll give you that.
Yes, Dan.
But the biggest game of Bill Belichick's career, I can come up with nine right off the top of my head that were bigger.
Yes.
Uh-huh. By the way, the nine AFC championship games that got them to those Super Bowls were all bigger.
Or the Super Bowls he played in as a defensive coordinator. I bet he thought those were really big because you know what he was trying to get then? A head coaching job, which gave him his career now that is going to be lost if they lose to Josh Allen.
You know what I'd be interested to know? And, you know, again, the beat writers only get to see so much of practice, but is Gilmore taking every single first-team rep this week? Is Joe Tooney taking every single rep? Like, is Edelman taking whatever he normally takes? Like, has anything been altered, like, even slightly to sort of prepare for life after those guys? Or is it going to be business as usual up until the moment, all right, they're gone, next guy? Because then, at that point, you're not really doing your team a service.
You haven't prepared
service.
Them.
Right.
I know yesterday on the practice field, Tooney and who was the other offensive lineman who just came back, they were kind of working.
Mason. Andrews.
They were working off by themselves.
They had a bunch of guys that were hurt,
But they were, you know, doing some drills kind of. And I could see guys coming off injured list. Now, Stephon Gilmore, Steph, you go over there and work by yourself, okay?
Because the players will certainly, they'll know way more than we do about it. And either they can predict it or if it happens, they'll just be shocked. Because if it's, hey, all right, that looked good. All right, let's just go with J.C. Jackson and Jonathan Jones real quick. And you're like, wait, why?
Tom Brady
says, Gilmore's right there.
What defense are we in that Stephon Gilmore's not on the field?
He's used
that line before.
They're like, oh, but just in case, we got to prepare for everything. So just in case Gilmore has like a hamstring, everybody else go out there and
just
practice.
Just in case Stephon's not here,
like,
let's just say.
This looks weird. So again, they'll know. I mean, it's got to be sort of weird times because usually they're a team. I mean, with the exception of Jamie Collins is gone at the deadline. Jimmy Garoppolo, although he was your backup, but still he was gone at the deadline. Usually it's bringing guys in. It's like they're trading draft picks for Akeem Ayers or Akeem Talib or whatever, like other kind of lower level type players to help out.
And the Collins one is the interesting one because I don't think it's reached that degree because if you remember back then, Mike Lombardi was shredding Jamie Collins. Part-time
after
player. No. He also
did
had
it before?
I believe they were talking about some before.
Okay.
His reps, his effort.
His freelance. That was the freelance. Hashtag freelance after they traded Collins.
It's not anywhere near that level, and he definitely went all in after. He shredded him like the day after. I think it happened on a Monday. He might have been on like the Tuesday.
It did. They traded him on a Monday. It was the day after they beat the Bills.
Right.
So it was going into week nine.
We've heard questions about Gilmore's play, and is he all in? Is he as invested?
I
heard people, you know, questioning him on the cut block that he went down on, which I actually don't have a problem with, because I think he was told to get to the outside, and he's thinking, I'm getting to the outside. If he cuts me down, that's somebody else's problem. Yeah, he's cutting to the inside.
Yep.
But I think people are already questioning, why is he not playing as well? Is he not as invested? Does he not want to tackle? Is he thinking about his money and some of those things? And those will blow up again if you, well, you know, all he cared about was his contract. You saw him tweet. He was tweeting about his contract there. He sold his house. You can package it that he's playing himself out of town, even though it may have started when they wanted to send him out of town.
See, I think it started week 17 last year against Devontae Parker. That's when it started.
You almost wonder if he's trying to shoot his way out, like Randy Moss did, by the way.
Oh, Moss took it to the next level, though.
No, I know. But is this whole house listing and everything, is this Stephon Gilmore playing chicken with Bill Belichick, which, by the way, is not necessarily a good idea?
No, I don't think first of all, that doesn't work. And second of all, I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense, because Bill's going to trade you whether he wants to or not. It really doesn't matter what you do. All right, you sell your house. All right, now what? You're going to find somewhere to live. You're still on the team. We want you for the rest of the year, so you got to go out there and play.
Well, that's why I got back to, you know, why give him the $5 million? You said, well, it was a holdout.
Yeah.
And it may have been, so don't play. What are you going to do? You're not getting more money. You're actually getting less,
because
I'm fining you. We're not allowed to waive those fines anymore. Those are now locked-in fines. You're not getting your game checks. You do what you want to do.
But I think it's one of those ones where, in the short term, it worked for Gilmore. Like, let's say that's what it came down to. And it's hypothetical. But if it came down to, I want $5 million. All right, fine. All right. And Belichick's in your mind is like, you're not going to be here next year anyway.
Like,
we'll
Tom
move
Brady,
it around.
Why I'll take it off next year.
And we have plenty of money. We can move things around.
They did
it doesn't
with Brady.
Really matter.
We'll
and
give
now
you a little
back.
More money this fine. Year. I know you're gone after the season anyway. Right? Same thing.
I do wonder, now, if he does play on Sunday, do you say, hey, you're one of the top corners in the game. You have Steph Diggs all game long, and sort of prove that you're still at the top of the. Of
what
the
if game. He pulls a hammy on Sunday?
Then you're screwed.
No. I'm questioning it either way, because
I wouldn't play. If I'm going to deal him, I don't play him.
I wouldn't either, because if I'm him, I could blow up a trade, or if you don't trade me, now I have reason why I'm sitting out for 6 weeks, but you still got to pay me because I get hurt.
Even if the game is that important, even if you think you are a contender. And by contender, I mean like playoff team.
Right.
But if you think it comes down to beating the Bills, because again, it's not that far-fetched to think the Patriots are going to be 4-4 and the Bills are going to be 5-4. And so if you play Gilmore, you have a better chance of beating the Bills.
Yes.
If he plays hard. But yes.
What if he knows if you beat the Bills, you're staying. If you lose to the Bills, you might be traded.
Well, did he get a good deal on his house?
Did I get
an offer? What's the latest offer?
He's checking at halftime.
Anybody? Anybody?
All
cash offers. Let's go.
All cash.
Bye.
Let's do it.
See you later.
By the way, it's an aside, but I didn't know if Shime saw this or not. The Jets play Kansas City this weekend. Did you see the spread?
Sure did.
Yeah, it's like a
fully intend to bet on it, too.
It's like a college football spread.
You're laying the points? What are they?
Oh, 19.5.
This is Alabama versus Savannah State.
I lay that every day. It's the New York Jets.
It's the New York Jets.
The Bills didn't cover.
New York chumps.
It is the biggest spread of the year for any game in the NFL.
Yeah.
Probably will be the biggest spread of the year, I would guess.
Yes. But the Jets just covered last week.
And the Chiefs.
The Chiefs would have covered this against the Broncos last week.
I know.
Yeah, but
I
the
know.
Chiefs were 6-3 with the Patriots. Right?
Yeah, but the Patriots defense is halfway decent.
Against Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
No, the Patriots are not halfway decent.
The Patriots defense is halfway decent.
Was it last week?
The Jets defense,
no, it wasn't
not so
last
good.
Week, but overall,
or the week before?
Yeah, it was fine.
And the other team, led by Drew Locke, scored on 6 straight possessions.
Yeah, okay. They did not score a touchdown.
Yeah, you got lucky.
You got lucky against Drew Locke.
Have you been watching the games?
Drew Locke's been killing me. I thought he was going to be good. He stinks.
Why did you think that?
I don't know.
None of us
last
could figure
year,
it out.
Last year, he had like a nice little run.
I asked the same question.
What are you, 4-1 as a starter? He had a nice little run.
And that proves it to
and
you?
He got
what are you,
Wiggy?
Give him $100 million?
No.
We were yelling at you this offseason, Keith, when we made our predictions about how bad all of those pass defenses were that he went 4-1, and you just would not hear it.
Every team is bad at pass defense. It's the NFL now.
That's not true at all.
But some are worse than others.
Some are horrible. Most
not every team is Seattle.
No. What about Atlanta?
I didn't say Atlanta was good either, Atlanta. But
that's why they threw for 1,000 yards when they played.
I think I gotta get off the Drew Locke bandwagon. Not
oh,
that
think?
There was many people on there, but you know
just
why?
Bail.
Because
just bail on him.
It was a John Elway drafted quarterback, so I'm out. I'm officially out. I didn't make a lot of noise with it, so maybe not a lot of people know that I like Drew Lock. But
see,
I'm
I think you should
like
stick a different with it.
I'm done with that. No,
because you might be the lone guy. You and Vic Fangio.
No. I don't want to be on Elway's side.
Press conference with a thank you to John Elway.
Yes, I'm out. I'm done. They stink. He stinks.
I sent this along to you guys, by the way. Boston Sports Info put out one of these things. If the season ended today type things, because your schedule for next year is predicated on how your schedule, where you finish this year. If the season ended today, of course, you'd have the AFC East teams. That means Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, and probably Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
The quarterbacks you got
to
face.
Unless he goes back to school.
Unless he pulls an Eli Manning.
I'm going back to Clemson.
He could pout.
You visit Atlanta to play Matt Ryan. You visit Carolina to play Teddy Bridgewater. You visit Houston to play Deshaun Watson. You visit Indy. Who knows who their quarterback
is? Yeah, Cam Newton.
Yeah, you visit either the Chargers or Denver, which means Justin Herbert, who's been great, or Drew Lock.
Who has not.
Who's not.
Yeah, you got Drew Lock.
And then at home next year, you would play against Jacksonville with Gardner Minshew.
Maybe.
Yeah, it won't be him.
Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill.
Thanos.
Cleveland with Baker Mayfield.
He's killing it. He had 5 touchdowns last week.
You're back on that.
Oh, I'm back on Baker. Oh, yeah.
New Orleans with Drew Brees.
Maybe.
Maybe. Jameis Winston.
And Tampa Bay with Tom Brady.
Can't wait for that game.
You think it's a lock he plays next year?
I do.
If they cruise through
and win the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl.
Oof.
Is there a chance he just walks away and goes out on top?
There's a chance, but no, I think he plays 2 years.
He'll go for back-to-back.
He probably would.
I would leave.
I think he's going.
I mean, how long am I going to have this horseshoe up my ass where everything works out for me?
I mean, he could have retired after 16. He could have retired after 18. Like,
now you're 44?
He said 45 all along.
No, I know.
He seems obsessed with that number. Yeah. He really does seem.
And you don't people regret obsession?
Yeah, but I think it's also part of his business model. It's the whole, hey, you know why I'm playing till I'm 45? Because TB12 is keeping me healthy and out there.
His job's so much easier now with Godwin and Evans, and maybe Brown signs a 1-year deal and is back again next year.
Scotty Miller.
He'll play again.
But it's hard to. I know Brady doesn't prove this point.
Scotty Miller fan club back here.
Ridiculous.
Is
I don't understand it at all.
It's great. Did you see that catch in the corner of the end zone?
It was a nice throw.
See the catch
beautiful
from
throw,
Kevin
catch.
Turner in the Drew Bledsoe game.
Oh,
like
Kevin
one
Turner
catch in the back
nice
corner of the end zone.
Aaron Dobson.
Make a career.
Look up Aaron Dobson's highlight tape at Marshall. He had one of the greatest
one-handed
catches you've ever going to see in your life.
That Ken Burrell Tompkins catch against the Saints.
Huge catch.
One catch does not a career make.
It's true.
I'm aware, but he's the leading receiver on the team for a reason.
Stop talking about Scotty Miller.
I know. You're missing the point. You're burying the lead.
No,
they
not.
Have 3 all-pro receivers, and you talk about Scotty Miller.
And he ain't one of them.
No, he isn't.
So in a game in which all of their receivers are healthy. Let's play it out. Let's pretend Godwin can actually stay on the field this year. And Brady throws the ball 40 times. How many are intended for Scotty Miller?
3.
10.
10? 25% of his targets go to Scotty Miller?
So dumb.
Yes. Antonio Brown and Mike Evans would both
probably
beat Tom
close.
Brady.
Mike Evans
at halftime.
Mike Evans doesn't get a ton of targets.
Did you say yo?
No, I said no.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah, he said yo.
I said yo.
Let the man
speak.
Hey,
yo, Mike Evans don't get a ton of targets.
The target share would be the major target share would be to Miller, Godwin, and or Antonio Brown.
What do you mean and or Antonio Brown? It's going to be
playing.
Antonio Brown.
Well, yeah, I just said if they're all playing, if
yes,
all the receivers
Mike Evans
healthy,
is going to get the least targets.
Well, it depends Scotty what Miller Brady's will. Doing, because if he's old school throw to the open guy Brady, then Scotty Miller should be open.
They're all Mike Evans is right now. Is like a wide receiver fullback.
Scotty?
All he does is catch like 3 yards for 2 touchdowns.
Wide receiver fullback.
He's just making stuff up.
He really is.
He's scrambling the red zone. That's
he,
it.
He
He's like
understands
Gronk.
The
He's basically what original Gronk was.
Scotty Miller,
the most dominating, uncoverable weapon
Mike
in
Evans.
Football.
In the red
Brian
zone,
Gronk.
Yeah.
No, so basically,
no, Gronk was fine in the middle of the field. Let's not have revisionist history and label him just a red zone.
Here's
early in Gronk.
Here's Shime logic. He has Scotty Miller getting 10 catches with a full stable of receivers.
No,
Scotty
I said
Miller,
10 targets, not 10 catches.
Targets. He has not had 10 targets.
Oh, so he's not
even
yet. Catching the ball?
And they don't even have Antonio Brown.
Because he's been hurt on and off.
Add it to the list then.
He's
going to be a non-factor.
Is this better or worse than the Bengals should pass on Joe Burrow?
Oof, that's a take.
They're going to play that audio at Joe Burrow's Hall of Fame induction. The way they played Mike Lombardi.
When
Lombardi
comes out
Eagles
and
parade.
Lights it up
you know
against
also,
the Rams, you're going to be like, Shime might have had a point.
You know what was also sneaky, too?
What?
Going back to our
they
draft
can both
shows.
Be good.
Shime didn't like Justin Herbert going back to our
that's
draft
true.
Shows.
That's true.
He hated Herbert.
I did not like Herbert. I came around on Herbert.
You know who I didn't like?
Patrick Mahomes.
You didn't like Mahomes?
I gave you the total quarterbacking numbers. You know, the one where Cam Newton is 39th and Jarrett Stidham's 40th.
Yep.
Tom Brady was fourth. Number one was Justin Herbert.
Oh, he's awesome.
Justin Herbert has completed more big plays than any other quarterback in football this year.
He's awesome. And just think, he never would have played if the trainer didn't puncture Tyrod Taylor's lung.
Because I listened to all you people.
That's the reason why he played.
Right. Well, maybe it wasn't an accident.
Got it. Inside job.
He has like 128 passer rating on
Anthony Lynn's like, listen, I don't have the heart to bench him, but if you injure him beyond repair.
I'm not sure it was Anthony Lynn. Maybe it was Herbert.
Oh.
That sounds like something the Spanos family.
Maybe it was Keenan Allen, because he's getting a lot of time.
Could be Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen's like, listen, I can't do it anymore.
There's a number of, you know, candidates, suspects.
That's a good point.
You look around the locker room.
If you look at the AFC East right now, is this a precursor to what's to come? You might not like the answer. We'll talk about it when we come back. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, and it's time to trend.
Dale. Kool-Aid. Keefe. More like head and ass. Andy Hart. If you're banking everything that Nikhil Healthy is Harry on WEEI.
The last 3 weeks, Greeny, this Patriots team, oh my God, and Lewis, you can speak on it. This had been un-Patriot-like. The Patriots are 31st in explosive plays. Only ahead of our New York Jets. Think how disgusting that is to be associated, to be near how bad the New York Jets are as far as offense is concerned. They flat out stink. I hate that I'm doing this, but Lord have mercy. Just watching the Patriots make me want to gag.
That was Damian Woody, former Patriots center Damian Woody.
Wow.
On GetUp.
He's upset, huh?
He is.
Seemed a little.
He is off the bandwagon completely.
Good stat there on explosive plays.
Nice, 31st. Yes. So as we sit here today, the Patriots are currently in third place in the AFC East. Buffalo's in first, Miami's in second, Patriots are in third, and the Jets suck. So those are the three. So then that brought up the question we were asking internally. Who wins more games over the next 3 years? The Patriots, the Bills, or the Dolphins?
I think the Dolphins right now are a bit of a wild card in the sense that
we haven't even seen
Tua
him play yet. He's going to play this weekend.
Is Tua as good as Burrow or Herbert? And if he is, I think you got to consider them. I would almost put them to the side for a moment and say, if you're looking at Bills and Patriots right now, you have to say the Bills. Even if you don't love Sean McDermott, I don't think he's a bad coach. I don't think he's a great coach. I think he's probably somewhere in the middle right now.
He's better than Adam Gase.
But Josh Allen is 24 and is getting better every single year.
Yep.
You have Devin Singletary and Zach Moss, who are in their early 20s. You have Steph Diggs, who is 26. You have Tre'Davious White, who I think is 25. You have Tremaine Edmonds, who's 22. Like, just that alone, those five, six guys that I just named, is enough to surround them with some other pieces, and in a not great division, their future is pretty bright. For the first time since like the 90s, the future of the Buffalo Bills is a good one.
Yeah, I will take the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
And I will take it not so much about the Buffalo Bills, but about the New England Patriots.
Yeah, fair.
What are they? Where do I expect improvement to come
from? Who's
their
quarterback going to be next year?
Forget about Sunday. Who's
the quarterback going to be next year?
Right.
Tight end, wide receiver, defensive front seven, and the things that are supposed to be good are aging out, as they would use in like youth sports. You're aging out your best cornerback. You're aging out your safety. I mean, I guess it wouldn't surprise me if within a year and a half, Kyle Duggar is like your best player. And that's great. You drafted him. You got somebody to build around the back end.
Sure.
But all the other stuff, how am I filling all these holes? Because even with cap space, draft picks, you still have to hit on all those things. Like, it's great to say, yeah, I'm going to go sign a tight end, draft a wide receiver, I'll trade for.
Well, now you have Dawson to hit Knox on that take. They got him.
Yes.
You know, like they got a good.
But they have
core.
Josh Allen. They have Stephon Diggs. They have guys that are part of the 100%. Present and the future. You don't have guys that are part of the present, and anyone that's even part of the present could be gone before the future.
Yeah, like your favorite guys that are on the team right now are old.
Who would you buy a jersey of? If you're like a family, if you're a kid, you're like, you want to invest, I'm going to get my son a jersey that he'll wear for the next 5 years, 4 years. Who am I getting? Kyle Duggar would be who I'd go with.
J.C. Jackson?
Maybe J.C. Jackson. But he is sneaky. Do they think about him?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question. Like you might,
you're going to have to pay him if you want him. Yeah. Do they think of him as your number one corner, and are they going to give him a $10 million?
I did not get a lot of use out of my David Givens jersey back in the day.
Will James White be here? I mean, he's a guy.
When Rich brought the question up about the trade deadline, I think everybody's automatically thinking James White's teammates. Like, could and I didn't know how to ask.
Oh, like you could get traded.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he's a guy, especially with contract what's going on with off the field with him. You don't want, like, he's in a contract year. He's a valuable player. I could see some team saying, you know, Tom Brady. I don't think it'll be them, but Tom Brady saying, yeah, I'll take a reliable third down back to add to my offense heading towards a playoff run.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you were doing him a solid, not that this would ever happen, but you'd trade him to Miami. That's where his mom is. That's where she's going through what she's going
bunch
through.
Bunch of Patriots down there.
Right. Right.
You know,
that Flo way.
And,
knows
and Brian
him.
Flores probably loves him.
But even with him, he is a 28-year-old running back who is very good at what he does, catching passes, but you don't really hand him the ball much. And, like, he's a nice player to have, but when you're talking about build-around guys.
But I would, like, sign him. Like, I don't think he's
bring
old
him back
in
too.
His role.
That's the reason I brought up him when you said a jersey that I'm going to buy for my kid.
I guess.
A, you know, he's the type of person you want your kid to emulate, but B, I think he's going to be here.
But another way of looking at it, when you're looking just around the league even, but I guess specifically in the division, you're saying, all right, what teams are set up for the future? Obviously, quarterback is the number one thing. But then I would say impact players or potential impact players who are under 25.
Yep.
And the Bills are loaded. Both sides of the ball, important positions. So they have a corner who I think is going to be good for a long time, a wideout who's going to be good for a long time. We'll see about the running backs, but they invested in Singletary and Moss. And then the quarterback who's getting better and better, and a good linebacker. Like, they have it all these different spots. You're like, yeah, this team is good. So then what they need to do is add the, like, James White equivalents at other positions, and now all of a sudden you get yourself
but
a team.
That's easier to do. Even the running back position, you can add a decent running back. All these teams that are afraid for the second contract or trade a guy.
You'll find somebody.
You can find a decent running back. I don't know if Patriots, like, the way they're going to find core, like, tent pole players to build around, and that may, getting back to the contracts and the mixed messages of the offseason, I do think that was part of the McCourty, you know, Matthew Slater's type moves. Like, wow, we're close to sort of the tent caving in here. We might need these guys more than we should.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know for the interest of our discussion, you kind of set Miami aside for a moment, Rich. Let's bring them back in for a minute.
Yeah.
I think Miami's got a very good head coach who we think has had this team trending in the right direction for a couple of years now. If I believe Tua Tagovailoa is going to be a good quarterback, and I do.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
Yes.
That's it.
Because they're already ahead of you, and you think the young franchise quarterback is going to be the man? Yes, I think they have reason to be very hopeful. Hell, if we're bringing people in, bring the damn Jets in. If the Jets are the worst team in football and get Trevor Lawrence, a generational quarterback, doesn't that put them ahead of you?
It'll depend on who the coach is. I mean, it'll be better than Adam Gase.
Yeah, it won't be Gase, so that's another plus for them.
That
it won't
is
be Gase.
Plus. But they're so bad everywhere that, the quarterback sets them down the right path.
Yeah.
But they have nothing else.
Okay.
They don't have anybody
They
else.
Have the most important thing. If you believe in Trevor Lawrence as a generational.
Do you like Denzel Mims?
I like Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, okay.
No, but you have Trevor Lawrence. That's a much better springboard starting block.
Oh, then
you
no quarterback. You're right. No, you're definitely
then the
right.
Patriots quarterback situation.
And also, Miami has Houston's draft pick this year, which is going to be a good one.
So they could have Trevor Lawrence.
Well, that'd be confusing. Yeah, why not? Play them both. But yeah, I mean, I just think that, you know, because it wasn't even a question for the last 20 years. It was just, you know.
And the division to the Patriots.
Because the other team, they never had quarterbacks. There was never anybody.
Nope.
Chad Pennington was fine.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill
I hate that word, don't you?
Yeah, but that's what he was.
No, you're right. No, you're not wrong.
And same even with Tannehill.
Patriots would kill for fine quarterback play right now.
And it wasn't Tannehill's fault. I mean, you look at the coaches that he had and some of the stuff around him, but nobody else. And now it's kind of, I don't know what the word would be. It's not funny for a Patriots fan, but the year that Brady leaves, and now it's like, oh, Josh Allen, Tua, and the way things are trending, Trevor Lawrence could all show up in the division like that. So you go from being the only team for two decades with a quarterback to maybe for the next decade the only team without one.
Yeah, that's really we're painting a negative picture here.
Well, I'm sorry.
Unless the wheels really fall off the wagon, which, by the way, is possible here.
Have you seen him play?
That's what I said.
Peter, thank you.
And you put yourself in a position where you can get the next franchise quarterback.
Which is plausible.
Not Trevor Lawrence, by the way.
But Justin Fields?
Why not Trevor Lawrence?
Fields?
Well, he's probably going to go one overall.
To who?
The Jets.
Who do you play twice?
Yeah, but if you're
the Jets,
why would you
give the Jets two wins?
Why would you? Well, you could try. I mean, I'm not sure they're good enough to take it if you give it to them.
Yeah, that's just a mess. I don't want to watch that. If it's just two teams trying to lose, like I'm out on that.
Brian, you're starting this week.
But there's also a ton of one-win teams around the league. Like, I just really don't think that you're going to be the last place team. But if you are picking in the teens somewhere, and then you're like, all right, we'll kick in next year's one, a two and like whatever else. Teams can do it. We've seen teams go from 26 to 6. Isn't that where Julio Jones, how they were able to pull that deal off back in the day? So teams can move up.
But you're not going to have to move up that far. You're in
that's,
more striking.
That's my point. That, you're even
right now you're
it.
11, I think, in the mock drafts. So now you're moving up to get to... I mean, Mutt was reading a mock draft last night that it goes Trevor Lawrence 1, Justin Fields 2, Trey Lance 4. So the first three are off the board in the first four picks of the NFL draft. Okay, but you could probably get to 4.
Let's face it, most of the best quarterbacks in the NFL were not the number one overall pick.
No, they seem to go like around 10
or
something.
Yeah, it's usually like the second or third guy taking it, proving
so
that the
you're
scouts
right where you are.
That you're
perfect
prime position.
Kyle Trask.
Is that your guy now?
Seems to be coming into that fourth spot. He's like sliding in. You don't love it?
No, I guess I'd rather have Justin Fields, but you know what? Maybe Trask would be the guy.
Wait, why wouldn't you rather have Trevor Lawrence then, if you're dreaming?
I am putting him like away. Like I think he's gonna be the
Wiggy
one pick.
Prefers Justin Fields.
Yeah, I know he does
certain reasons.
No, he broke it down for us.
Yeah, I didn't really understand it totally. Did you?
He says he likes him. I took him at his
That's
word.
That's good enough for me.
Okay. I said fine.
He likes him.
He also says Bill Belichick playing the most important game of his career.
Of his life, yeah.
Legacy-defining game on Sunday.
It is going to be interesting Monday morning to hear Wiggy if the Patriots lose, because he's been sort of saying must-win for a little while now, but this is like the most of all the must-wins, and he says he's going to officially be off the Patriots bandwagon for this season if they lose, and
Will he be off the cam wagon?
I think he has to be. I think they're synced up. But I don't. I think he'll twist it. I'm telling you, he's gonna say, "Well, you got the Jets this
week."
He's
a creative mind.
He'll find a way.
He can twist it somehow. Yeah. No, okay, maybe not.
Okay, take it back.
Wow.
617-779-7937. We've got some fantasy football advice for you out there. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes, and maybe a sprinkle on a Thursday night game.
Ooh, we could use some action there.
Chris Scheim is going to offer up. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart Sports Radio, WEEI.
More of Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Hanging for Trevor. If it's not him, then Lance is the manse. Boom, roasted.
On WEEI.
Keefe's going to give you what you need to know. Talk about who you got to start, who you got to say, got to let go. When you be like, you doing so good, gonna win your league, but you gotta listen to Rich Keefe.
And Shine Time.
In the fantasy breeze. Rich Keefe is playing like John Clayton up inside the huddle. And he's got an intimate knowledge of the fantasy game like he and Matthew Berry like to cuddle. If your team got a problem, yo, he'll solve it. Winston Wolfe for this fantasy gauntlet. So pretty pleased with sugar on it. Check out the hook walk.
Shine.
Keefe's gonna give you the info you desire. Who to claim from the waiver wire, so your lineup game is on fire. Put him on the board. Championship. You're definitely gonna win your league, but you gotta listen to Rich Keefe.
And Shine Time.
Fan the fantasy. Brief.
I wish you guys could see the two producers from behind, like I see.
Dale, this song's
their feet, their feet
song,
are
good
moving,
track.
And
it's a good track.
It's very good.
I don't want to be a wet blanket, but
you're gonna be.
Yeah,
oh, here we go.
Here it comes.
Is that a little dated? The John Clayton reference.
Yeah, I used that years ago.
Not sure. He's
the timeless classic.
Notable
John Clayton, John Madden. It's all good.
Okay.
You got a problem with the classics? What, do you want him to put Field Yates in there?
Just think there might be some young
and
fantasy
football
lines.
And he doesn't like the classics, yet he uses eyeballs to evaluate football players.
Sony Michel, third best running back in football.
Take a look at the stats.
You've picked your lane. It says Sony Michel is good, so I'm happy to stay out of your lane.
Well,
thank
believe
you.
It or not, last week, Scheim and I did not get the million-dollar lineup, although we were close. We had the number one quarterback in fantasy football last week. We identified him. We had the fourth or fifth wide receiver. We identified him. And others as well.
We identified the right game to stack. Yes. We just picked the wrong team
Correct.
To stack with.
We also had one of the top running backs from a week
ago.
So we're back at it again this week. The perfect lineup in your daily fantasy league of choice. Scheim, where are we going this week at the quarterback spot?
So like I said last week, I love to find a game where we can find a lot of value and stack because there's going to be a lot of points.
Stack
and this week,
up.
I think we found the right game.
Mm-hmm.
We love the Tennessee Titans here, but their defense stinks.
I think there's an opportunity for the Tennessee Titans
and the Cincinnati Bengals to score a lot of points. So right off the bat, we're taking Joe Burrow as our quarterback this
Good thing the Bengals drafted him.
He leads the league in attempts, passing attempts this year.
Yes, he does.
He's just started to actually score touchdowns, though, over the last couple weeks. And so I think that really kind of ramps up now.
Last week, Joe Burrow against the Browns at home had 406 yards passing, three passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. He actually has 3 rushing touchdowns on the season,
which is massive value.
And the last 2 weeks started to throw to A.J. Green again. It's like A.J. Green is
24 targets,
by the way.
I think he said, right?
Yes. And so Joe Burrow has been good, and he's been pretty good at home, and this is another home game for him against the Titans. So there you go. At running back, Shyam, one of the guys that we mentioned and we saw firsthand last week was Jamichael Hasty. One of the million running backs the 49ers have, but he's also the healthiest one that they have. So we know that Mostert is hurt, and Jeff Wilson, who had the 3 touchdowns last week, he is also hurt. Hasty ran the ball pretty hard against the Patriots, but they had so many other guys that were playing well. But this, he's probably going to be the featured back this week. Doesn't cost you a ton of money. So Jamichael Hasty.
It really works out well, too, because it looks like Tevin Coleman's starting to work his way back. So if he does end up playing, he's going to be on a pitch count.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good chance Jerick McKinnon doesn't play at all.
Was last week. McKinnon
and Hasty could easily be the starting running back in this game.
Yes.
You got to find some value. I think this is where we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy that we're going to find value with is Aaron Jones. Looks like he's probably not going to play again Sunday. They're really kind of playing it very cautious with this calf injury. So a lot of value right now in Jamal Williams, who had a great week last week.
He
had 21 points last week. I think we can get even more out of him this week because I think Green Bay gets up early again and just starts running the football in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to our wide receivers. I like Keenan Allen a lot this week. We talked about how good Justin Herbert has been since he has come on, and a big part of that is Keenan Allen. Last week, 10 catches, 125 yards. He's had a couple of weeks this year with double-digit catches already. And going up against Denver, I think you'll take your chances with Keenan Allen.
The other guy, like I said, the Tennessee-Cincinnati game, we love to lean on that. We're going A.J. Brown. He's had 3 straight great weeks. Tannehill loves throwing him the football, and like I said, I think this is a shootout. I think this is a perfect opportunity for A.J. Brown to have another massive week.
And how about the guy that was drafted 22 overall in this past draft, Justin Jefferson? Now, some of his points come in garbage time.
It doesn't matter.
It's not
points.
It doesn't matter. He has had 3 100-yard games in his last 4 weeks. And, like, big-time stuff. Last week, 166, or 2 weeks ago, because they were on the bye. But 2 weeks ago, 166 yards and 2 touchdowns against Atlanta, going up against a Green Bay defense, which I assume they're going to be down big early. And you're like, oh, he's not doing anything. And then in the fourth quarter, like he did against Atlanta, all
garbage
of a sudden,
touchdowns.
Light it up again. So we'll take it.
And then at tight end, we're actually going to go with Darren Waller. We got some money to play with here. We're going to go with Waller. They're playing Cleveland this week. I expect that game to score some points as well. Vegas' defense is terrible, so they're going to need to throw. And Baker looked actually really good last week. So kind of expect a little bit of a shootout there, too. So a lot of opportunity for Waller to catch hopefully a couple touchdowns.
In the flex spot, A.J. Green. Now, this was a guy we thought was left for dead earlier in the year. And I remember we even talked on the show about could the Patriots, back when the Patriots were still in the mix,
right,
could they trade for A.J. Green?
And do you even want
him? And everybody
him?
Was like, ugh, I don't really know.
But back, baby.
24 targets the last 2 weeks, 15 catches, just shy of 200 yards receiving. Hasn't gotten in the end zone yet, so he hasn't had that huge day.
He's due.
I think he's due. Going up against the Titans, who give up the 5th most points to wide receivers, which is also where we're going
words
with you guys.
In Shime's gambling world.
He's due.
Oh, he's due.
He's definitely due. And then Shime, I want to cap it off with a defense.
Yeah, so with defense this week, we're going to go with the Bears defense taking on New Orleans. New Orleans has to travel to Chicago. We all know Drew Brees has never been good outdoors, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, Michael Thomas, still questionable, might even be out coming up on Sunday. And so I just don't see New Orleans doing a whole lot against the Chicago defense, which has been good. The one bright spot to the Chicago team all year has been the defense. And so I think they kind of keep that rolling. And it's going to be a low-scoring game. They get a turnover like every game. So I think the Chicago defense is the play here.
And from fantasy to real-life bets here, Shyam, let's go to the Thursday night game that kicks off Week 8. It is in the NFC South. Carolina Panthers at home against the Atlanta Falcons. Panthers are laying 2.5. What do you like there? Oh, also the over-under is 51.5.
So, per John Ewing, Teddy Bridgewater is 32-10 all-time against the spread. And when the line moves away, or like, bad on him, so it started at he was favored by 3.
Mm-hmm.
He's now only favored by 2.
Ooh. Okay, it's 2.
And so, when the line moves in that direction for him, he's actually 16-4. I'm leaning Carolina laying the two.
Yes.
I'm also leaning the under 51.5 tonight.
Okay.
Because it's supposed to be rainy and windy in the Carolinas. Ooh. And so I kind of expect a lot of Mike Davis tonight out of Carolina and some turnovers.
And no Christian McCaffrey tonight, although it sounds like next week he should be a go. He was at practice
this
week.
Gets 10 days rest, and then they're playing the Chiefs, which is, if they beat Atlanta, would be a huge game for the Panthers to keep them in the playoff hunt.
There you go.
So the remnants of Hurricane Zeta are affecting Shime's choices here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dale, you got to take that into account. It's a big thing.
It's going to be an issue on Sunday in Buffalo, too.
Sure is.
We'll be talking about it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. I cheated on the guys a little bit yesterday.
Oh?
Yeah, well.
How dare you?
Not okay.
We'll revisit some of that in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keith with Hart Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!